Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology. Oh, I forgot the little adjective. Another fantastic episode of Back Porch Theology. A quick little word from our sponsor, the Back Porch itself. If we've learned anything from 2020, one of the top things we need to learn is that big tech is not your friend. The enemies of God and the enemies of the church, God's people, are really starting to show their teeth. So I need you to share this podcast to the masses, to your friends. Help equip them to be the men, the women, the husbands, the fathers that they are called to be. Right? Because strong men make strong households. Strong households make strong churches. And strong churches make strong countries. And that's the rebuilding plan for America. To be the land of the free and the home of the brave once again, we have to be strong men and strong women, strong wives and moms as well. So I need you to share this podcast with all your friends, and we'll blaze a trail into 2021, not looking back. All right, everybody, as the year is winding down and we are approaching fastly 2021, have you set your goals? Have you set your goals? I think that goal setting is an essential part to being the men and women that God's called us to be: strong, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If we're going to gain ground, if we're going to continue to build, not just fight, not just wonder what happened or why it happened, but take ground for Christ and for His glory, then we need to be people that set goals. We need to set goals in our homes. We need to set goals for our finances, our business, our spiritual lives, our Bible consumption, our personal sanctification. We need to set goals. We need to set goals for how involved we're going to be in our neighborhoods, in our cities. We need to set goals. And here's why. Quick couple things. Proverbs 29:18. I've said it before multiple times. I'm going to say it again, that Proverbs 29:18 is one of the most important verses that you can meditate on a daily basis. It says this, that without vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. So if we do not have a biblical vision, if we do not know what it is that God wants us to press toward, to apprehend in Christ in a real practical way, not in a mystical, mysterious way, but if we don't know what the Bible says about our life, about where we are, how we got there, and the steps forward to gain ground in a life more obedient and more pleasing to God, then we will by necessity be a people that cast off restraint. If we don't know what the Bible says about our finances, then we're just going to be a leaf floating in the wind with our finances, and we will cast off restraint. We'll waste our money on big gulps and t-shirts and all kinds of nonsense instead of laying up an inheritance for our children, instead of investing wisely, instead of building our four walls more tightly and securely. Instead of being the generous people that God's called us to be, sowing into His kingdom and into the lives of those around us, to our wives and children, fellow churchmen and those in need. So we need to know what the Bible says. We need to know what the Bible says about our marriage. We need to have a biblical vision for our marriage. If we don't have a biblical vision for our marriage, then how is your marriage doing? What kind of metric are you going to use to grade your husbandry of your wife, or the fathering of your children that you're striving for? So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about our parenting, right? If we don't know what the Bible says, if we don't have a biblical vision of our calling as fathers, as mothers, then how do you know how you're doing? You have to know what the Bible says. We have to know. So without vision, we cast off restraint, right? We spin our wheels and waste our time, and a lot of times that ends up in idleness and in needless, stupid sin that just wastes your time. And it wastes your wife's time, your husband's time, it wastes your kids' time. We need to be a people of vision. And so, knowing what the Bible says about every area of our life and pressing towards those things is how we gain ground. That's number one. So Proverbs 29:18. Number two, in Matthew 25:14-30, Jesus gave the parable of the talents. To one servant, he gave one talent. That was one bundle of money. He gave to one guy, to a different servant, he gave two talents, two bundles of cash, and to a third servant, he gave five talents, five bundles of cash. And most of us are probably pretty familiar with the parable. The one who got the one talent was wicked and lazy and buried his talent, did nothing with it. The guy who got two talents went out and multiplied it. He was faithful, he was fruitful, he worked hard and was diligent, and it doubled. So when his master returned, he was able to give him back four talents. So the master profited on his servant's work. And lastly, the third servant multiplied his five talents to gain 10 total. When the master returned to the third guy, going down in descending order now, the third guy who gained 10 talents joyfully gave the rewards back to his master, and his master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were given five and you multiplied it. You got five more. And now here, be the ruler over 10 cities." To the second guy who got two talents and multiplied it by 100%, he doubled his investment. The master said, "Well done, good and faithful. You've been diligent, you've been fruitful. Now here, you go rule over four cities." And the guy who got the one talent, what did he do? He buried his talent. He said, "Master, I know you to be a harsh master, gathering where you don't plant. And so I was afraid and I hid my talent." And what did the master say to him? "You wicked and lazy, idle servant. You gained me no profit off of my investment in you. So now the little bit that I gave you, I'm going to take away, and now you're going to get locked up. And what I gave to you, I'm going to give to the guys who were faithful." So my question to you on the back porch with me today, with your boots off and your heels up on the table, what kind of servant are you going to be? Are you going to be a fruitful servant, a diligent servant, a hard-working, hard-thinking servant to Christ? Or are you going to be a wicked and lazy servant who buries his talents? Right? So there's some men and women, some people that God gives more to. He gives more resources to. He gives more energy to. He gives more relationships, more influence. He gives more mojo to. And we are accountable to God for how we steward, how we manage, how we use every little thing that He gives us. So do you want to be a fruitful and diligent servant? Or are you going to end up being a idle and lazy servant? What Christ said, a wicked servant. It's wicked. It's wicked to not multiply what Christ has given us. God expects a good return on you and on me. What kind of a return are we going to give Him with everything that He's given us? Some fruitful and faithful people produce 30-fold return, some produce a 60-fold return, and some produce a 100-fold return. So guess what? If God has equipped you to produce a 30-fold return and you only produce a 10-fold return, that's not being faithful. That's not being faithful. If God has equipped you to produce a 60-fold return and you only produce a 45% return, that's not good. That is not good enough. And if Christ equips you by His Spirit and by His providence to give him a 100-fold return and you only produce an 80 or a 90% return, that is not good. We need to leave everything on the court, like we used to say in high school basketball, right? You need to leave every ounce that you have out on the court, squeezing every bit of life out of every single minute for God's glory and for the good of your family, for the building up of Christ's kingdom. And I'm telling you that goal setting is simply writing out in prayer and in agreement with your wife or your husband, ladies. Setting goals is simply writing down a roadmap of how to be that person that produces a 100-fold return for Christ and for His glory. All right, so as 2020 is winding down, I can't help but talk a little bit about socialism. So one of my missions in having Back Porch Theology Podcast is to equip you to be the man and woman of God, and part of that is to be faithful in doing battle. And doing battle necessitates that we take every thought captive and make it obey Christ, which means not only our own thoughts, but the thoughts and opinions of others. That means that we are actively opening our mouth. We're not hiding our light under a bushel. We're not being little scared, little Susie in the corner, but we are actually engaging with others around us, our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, and challenging them to come to our side. Calling them to lay down their atheism, lay down their unbelief, lay down their humanism, and submit to King Jesus. Right? So we have to be equipped with the words to say, the thoughts to think, and have our tools sharp and ready for a quick draw. Right? So as our land is descending into the fiery pit of socialism. Now, I'm still holding out for a Trump victory, President Trump victory. I'm praying for it and I'm fighting for it. But again, in case we have to end up circling the wagons, we need to be ready to do battle against socialism. And even if President Trump does win, our nation has been the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of liberty, built upon God's law and God's word, has been so synchronized with humanism and socialism that either way we've got our work cut out for us. So this is for all of those squishy Christians that are, maybe they went to public school. Again, maybe they didn't get spanked enough as a child, but they lean humanist and socialist. So, you and I need to be equipped on how to disciple them, how to encourage them to think not like a socialist, but like a Christian. All right? So, here's the premise. God hates socialism. And as a little parenthesis, as a quick little sidebar, if all the Christians in America believed that God hates socialism and they also hated socialism, then we wouldn't be in the state that we're in today. Okay, that's just a little side note, right? Because we are the salt of the earth. And when we've lost our saltiness, when we've been so commingled with humanism that we're no longer salty, what's going to happen? Matthew chapter 5, we get trampled under feet by men. And again, that is what has happened. God's people have been trampled underfoot by men because we have lost our saltiness. So we got to get it back. And the first step in getting it back is repentance and changing our mind to think biblically. So, Biden, Harris, if they get into office, they're not my president, they're not your president, they stole it, and they're wicked. So, I have no problem with calling him, saying he's not my president. He's not. He's not a duly elected president, and that's enough for that, right? So, anyway, God hates socialism. So, several months ago, when me and my family were reading the book of Numbers for our family Bible time, we came across Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. I encourage you to read it with your family, read it yourself, sink your teeth into it. God hates socialism. So there's this fella by the name of Korah. And Korah was, now this is during the wilderness wandering of the Israelites, right? So Moses is in charge. Aaron is the head of the church. He's like the head pastor, right? And they're the leaders. You know, Moses by now is the head of the state. He's the governing leader. And then you got Aaron as the head of the church. You know, lowercase h, right? Christ is always the head of the church. Even back then, for you dispensationalists out there, even back in the Old Testament, Christ was still the head of the church, right? So Korah said, you know what, Moses, Aaron, what's so special about you guys? We're all God's people. We're all special. And here's the socialism. There's no such thing as a hierarchy. There's no such thing as this guy, you're over us and we're under you. No, no, no. We're all equal. Egalitarianism. We're all equal, Moses. Don't you know? And so if we are, as a, again, another side note, if we are going to think thoroughly biblically, down from our blood and to our bones and down to our toes, then we have to have our feet firmly rooted in this idea of hierarchy. And not just any hierarchy, but God's hierarchy, right? So that, which means the fifth commandment, honoring of the parents. Thou shalt honor thy parents. And again, that is applicable all the way down, all the way down. That there are lessers, there are graders, and there are equals. There are superiors, there are inferiors, and there are equals. I'm sorry to all of you egalitarians out there, but that's the world you live in. No matter how much you want to cast off the rule of Christ, Christ is king and God is the creator of the universe, and this is how he has instituted and created his world, is that there is a biblical hierarchy hardwired into creation and into reality. So Korah said, we're all the same. We're egalitarians, and so is God. Don't you know that, Moses? So, to make a long story short, Moses challenged him. He said, okay, fine. Tomorrow, God will reveal who is supposed to be in charge. Is it you guys? Is it you mob? Is it you Antifa? Is it you and Korah and your little mob that you're forming here? Or is it the ones that God has actually said is in charge, which is Moses and Aaron? So fast forward to the next day. What happens? The ground opens up and swallows up all the egalitarians. Bam! The ground opens up and swallows up all the socialists. So what's the lesson? God hates socialism. And maybe on January 6th, when Congress convenes to officially say who's going to be the next president, maybe, just maybe, the ground will open up and swallow up all the leftists. All right, everybody, thanks for hanging out with me on Back Porch Theology. Remember, we are here to help you to be steadfast, immovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord, kicking butt for God's glory and for the good of your neighbor. So be sure to set those goals. Be sure to get ready to kick some serious tail in 2021. We'll do it together for God's glory and for our joy. We'll catch you next time.